Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Enormous, heroic, epic, clocking in at nearly 20 hours, Wagner's Ring Cycle is an ambitious undertaking, typically staged only by the world's largest opera companies and houses, and seen only by those willing to travel and sit for the equivalent of 2+ work days. Well, diehard and would-be Wagner fans living locally will have a chance to catch this spectacle live, or at least the essential parts. Symphony New Hampshire is performing part one of The Essential Ring this Sunday at the Keefe Center for the Arts in Nashua. Jonathan McVie is music director for the symphony and the Lexington Symphony and the Boston Ballet, but still has time to join us now. Jonathan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia.
So The Essential Ring, how did you winnow it down to what is essential?
Well, you laid out very well the fact that it is a mammoth undertaking as an audience member as well as a performer. And people actually know more of the ring than they think they do, and it has permeated our society in a wide variety of different ways, going all the way back to my first exposure, which was Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny.
Of course, all of us.
Kill the Wabbit. But what I really wanted to do was to try and take away a little bit of that wall of, oh my goodness, do I really have 2.5 work days that I can sit there and take this all in? Or be able to do sort of a Reader's Digest focus on the greatest sections of this. So I actually spoke to friends who were Wagner fanatics and said, can you make a list of everything in these four operas that you absolutely could not live without? And I ended up with about 14 different people weighing in on it. And I simply went through and gave each section a vote. And then I looked at the ones that had the most votes, and it was like, okay, if there's any way I can keep these sections in, I definitely will. What I wanted to do was create basically a new opera that combines the first two, and then part two is the second two operas.
Okay, so let's just clarify. There are four parts to the Ring Cycle.
Correct. Four operas.
Okay, and so for those unfamiliar with the opera, we do have a great description. This is Jad Abumrad, known to public radio listeners from Radiolab. He produced a one-hour special about it. This is how he described the Ring Cycle.
If I had to describe it in one sentence, it would go something like this. The Ring is a German romantic view of Norse and Teutonic myth influenced by a Greek tragedy and a Buddhist sense of destiny, told with a socio-political deconstruction of contemporary society, a psychological study of motivation and action, and a blueprint for a new approach to music and theater.
Okay, how'd he do?
That's brilliant. No, I know that Radiolab show, and it is absolutely wonderful.
Well, give us a little primer on what goes on in this opera.
Oh, boy, can I describe it? The story is incredibly complicated. He really hit the essence, which is it starts in the beginning with this magic gold being protected by the three Rhine maidens at the bottom of the Rhine River. 20 hours later, it ends up in exactly the same place, having gone through human foibles, heroics, gods, going through exactly the same kind of heroics and foibles. Everything comes crashing down that has been built up over this entire legend, only to end up with the magic gold right back where it started from, safely back in the water.
Well, Wagner was known as a bit of a control freak, even beyond the music and the libretto, which he wrote, to the staging, to the audience, you know, how they were going to experience this opera. I'm curious, what do we know about this part of his character that you chose to mess with a little by shortening his opera?
Yeah, he probably would be completely incensed by that. But what I was trying to do was be true to his sense of drama. In other words, when you come to part one, you will feel like you're hearing one complete work. It's not a collection of excerpts or snippets. And I have more appreciation for how brilliant he was in putting this piece together now than I did, you know, even years ago when I actually sat through a whole Ring cycle as a music student in London when they did them back to back for a weekend.
So what was revealed to you?
That his true genius was really creating a completely different form of opera and musical composition. Prior to Wagner on the opera scene, you had a collection of arias, which is a song, that for the most part did not move the story forward. And then you'd have what's called a recitativo, which is a little connector section to get to the next song. Wagner, we always use the word aria in quotes because there aren't really those song connector bits. The vocal arias in a Wagnerian opera are actually plot as well as beautiful pieces of music, and it's what we call through composed. So you start at the beginning and it goes in a development line right straight through to the end of that particular opera without really a break. And the other thing that he did that's incredibly special is he elevated the role of the orchestra. So instead of the orchestra being merely an accompaniment, maybe doing the odd orchestral interlude while they're changing scenery to get to the next bit, the orchestra is as important as the vocal parts, and I wanted to leave those in. So you started with Ride of the Valkyries.
Mm-hmm.
That's completely in there with the 115 people playing that he would have specified. I did cut a couple of corners because, for example, when they're forging the magic ring, which gives the owner of the ring the ability to control the universe, that's forged by 19 people hitting anvils. And I didn't have 19 people hitting anvils,
well,
or
did,
even 19 anvils.
How did you get all of these people? I mean, when I see Wagner's Ideal Symphony, I just think huge. What
it
did you
huge.
Do in New Hampshire?
Well, that's why I put both orchestras together. So actually, the fact that I am close enough and have two regional symphony orchestras of excellent quality that are close enough so that we can put them together in each city, Lexington and Nashua, gives me that double orchestra size. And then, of course, being able to bring in amazing Wagner vocal talent that we have for this, too, is really incredibly special.
Well, let's hear about that. The singers include the soprano Jane Eaglin and the Metropolitan Opera headliner Thomas Studebaker. Just
mm-hmm.
very, very big names in the world of opera. Tell us a little bit about what they bring to this production.
Well, a Wagnerian singer is a very special kind of singer. First of all, they have to have an incredible amount of power to be able to cut through an orchestra that big. And there are a lot of wonderful singers in the world who may excel singing Verdi or Mozart operas who would never even think of touching a Wagnerian opera just because the demands of it makes on the voice are so incredibly huge that you could actually completely blow out your voice if you don't have the kind of stamina, endurance, and that particular kind of vocal power. These people that we have in the cast, Jane, Thomas, Margaret Jane Ray, who's singing, Alfred Walker, who's Votan, those are people who really specialize in this kind of repertory.
Wagner's Ring Cycle is perhaps the epitome of the grand, epic, enormous opera, clocking in at nearly 20 hours. It's an opera in four parts. Well, Symphony New Hampshire is going to be performing part one of what it's calling the Essential Ring, a sort of pared-down version, this Sunday at the Keefe Center for the Arts in Nashua. We're speaking with Jonathan McPhee. He's music director for the New Hampshire Symphony and the Lexington Symphony, who will be performing together. Well, let's hear just a little bit. This is Jane Eaglin. She's performing the part of Brunhilde, and here's a clip from her battle cry.
Help! Help!
wow.
Wow is right, Jesus.
I mean, can you listen to that without just wanting to jump out of your seat?
I know, it's so powerful. And also, you know, this role, Brunhilde, is almost the, you know, the quintessential stereotypical operatic, wearing the Viking horns and the blonde braids. It is such an amazing scene. It must be a real challenge to sing, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait, actually. Tonight I'm meeting the singers to do our first piano rehearsal with them, and looking forward to it. They've all flown in. I think most of them came in last night.
And every character has his own theme, so to speak. This is something that Wagner did for this. Was this groundbreaking? Had that ever been done before?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Before Wagner, you would see the odd composer using a melody to associate it with a character. But Wagner really took it to the ultimate degree, where every single person, place, or feeling has its own melody. So there's over 150 melodies for the whole thing. Now, what does that mean? That means that even if you removed the vocal line that has the words that tell you what's going on, when you hear a theme like Wotan Spirit theme, boom, 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 every time you hear that, you know Wotan's coming on stage. But if you hear that theme and it's mixed in with another character's theme, there's obviously some exchange that's going on between them. And that concept of telling basically the dramatic story in how these themes interact with each other, who's on stage at the same time, or even sometimes having the theme morph into a new form, actually tells the story all by itself. And that's something that in today's world, movie music such as Star Wars, where
I'm thinking
Princess
that
Leia's
you know when Darth Vader's coming because you
sure.
hear the Darth Vader theme.
And, you know, you've got the spot where Han Solo gets thrown into the carbonite chamber, and what do you get? The Imperial March, which means Darth Vader comes on the scene, and there you can see it. And then you have that moment where Han Solo says to Leia, no, 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 it's okay, don't fight it. And he gets thrown in, and what do you hear? You hear the love theme. So, you know, John Williams absorbed this whole way of writing, as did Howard Shore in Lord of the Rings, the Tolkien trilogy.
Apocalypse Now again brought back this music for us. Colonel Kilgore, you know, playing Flight of the Valkyries. And this is something interesting because this is where life imitates art. This apparently soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq also would play this inside of their vehicles, you know, as they're about to mount an attack to get things stirred up. And So what is it about this, Jonathan McVie? Why does it still captivate so? Why do people travel around the world to see the Ring Cycle like, you know, deadheads?
You know, people forget that music is not only a universal language, but it's something that's really basic to human beings. And I think Wagner, with the germs that he put into this piece, managed to hit that right spot, both, you know, warrior themes and love themes, but he really touched on the human soul. And when you think about it, if you go all the way back to any civilization in the world that the world has ever known, you will find that every time there is a major human event, whether it's going to war, birth, weddings, someone passes away, you've always got music there. And the music is something that is our way of emotionally plugging into something. And that means it can also be misused. It can also become a propaganda tool for the same reason. I mean, anytime you've got any kind of conflict, there's always a fight song that goes along with it. So it is something that's basic to us as human beings. You can't separate it.
Well, Jonathan McVie, I wish you the absolute best. It sounds like a fantastic production.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and I really hope people in New Hampshire will come, because this is not something that you get a chance to do and hear every day.
Conductor Jonathan McPhee, he's music director for Symphony New Hampshire and the Lexington Symphony. They are both joining forces with the Boston Wagner Society to present part one of The Essential Ring, and that is this Sunday at the Keefe Center for the Arts in Nashua. There are more details on tickets and the event at wordofmouthradio.org.